Excellent. All right. So, Tom, I know we don't have it on the agenda here, but there are a couple of announcements I know you wanted to share.
Well, first of all, I want to tell you, you don't have a quorum yet. Let's see, one,
Right.
two,
Felix,
three.
Chris.
Where's that? Yeah, you have Nabila, Chris, and you. That's it.
Give it another minute, see who's joining.
Okay, Kate is coming shortly.
There we go. So I believe we've now got a quorum. So I've got Nabila, Chris, Kate, and myself. All right. So now I will call this meeting to order for December 6th, 7 o'clock for the Tourism Board. So Linda, if you can make the note about the minutes, I just want to make sure that they get up. Before we get started, and Nia's joined us as well, I want to give a massive shout out to Tamara, who I see was on the call here too, and to everybody involved with Winter Walk this past week. Not a very easy year given the challenges that the pandemic presents us, but I think you did a great job in bringing the spirit of it back. So massive, massive thank you and congratulations to you. If I can kind of jump around and everything here, how do you feel like everything went?
I just want to say thank you to the city and the tourism board for its support. It was a big success. We didn't know what to expect, and the community spirit and goodwill was everywhere, and we're so grateful. So thank you.
We look forward to supporting you for many years to come in the future. It's always a highlight. And Adam, you have two new older favorite women in my family who are massive fans. So thank you for the wonderful performance because I got to hear about that all day on Sunday.
Oh, thank you. That's very sweet.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Now, this actually rolls in. I believe that these were all part of the Project Hudson update elements. And Tamara, I'm just confirming for you, since it is Tourism Board related, we're all set with the city clerk. The final invoicing payment will be taken care of at the informal meeting, which, Tom, that's Monday or Tuesday? It's Monday, correct? On Monday. And so we'll make sure that gets processed out before the end of the year for you. Excellent. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to Mike Tucker. Mike, thank you for being here again today. I know that we didn't get to the all originals report and recommendation for payment from the last time. I can pull that up if it's easier for me to, or if you have easier access to it and like to share your screen to walk us through it.
If you could pull it up, that would be great.
Absolutely. Bear with me one second here.
And yes, winter walk was great. I got to the tree lighting a little bit late because one year it started at Hudson Hall, one year it started at City Hall, and I ended up at the park. So.
And thank you, Mike, too, for the support from the Columbia Economic Development Corporation.
Well, as Ryan said, it's a very important component of our county economy and the city's economy, and we're grateful to have the opportunity to partner with you on Winter Walk and many other activities.
Sorry, Nia, I just hit the mute button on yours. We were getting a little bit of feedback there. So can you see the screen okay, Mike?
Yes. As you can see, this project was submitted, and if you could keep rolling it a little bit, they have a very thorough written report, and the as you can see from the photographs, it was very elaborate performances and lots of color. And if we stopped here for a minute, the Hudson Tourism Board were, and the Sacred Ground production, had this event, Princess and the Golden. And if we keep going, you can see where they advertised it, how they distributed their tickets, their local sponsors, as well as a taped presentation, and I guess we should get that link and make sure it's available online for anyone that didn't have an opportunity to see it earlier. And I'll make a note of that. And in conclusion, regardless of vaccination status, many people continue to be wary of a close proximity. But the best solution was to perform outdoors in the Pocket Park. And Chris McManus and Mia McKinley graciously made available to them both Saturday night performances. And the we keep going into the production phase. They had two performances on Saturday, October 9th. And the tickets were not collected as it was outdoors, but they had approximately 40 or 50 at the first concert, and 50 at the second, mostly were adults. As you can see, there was again a very professional production with lots of professional costumes and performances and color. On Sunday, the weather wasn't as good, and there was a competing event on Warren Street. There was a 3 p.m. performance, which was attended by mask audience at the church, and there were other church and community members there, that was not as well attended as the other components. The report further requires them to submit their budget and then indicate whether the original itemized budget were actually incurred. And there were some variations, but when we went through the budget, it did match the total, and it also
all of the receipts were included. And we had recommended it to the board for last month, but realized that the meeting was in early November. The governor's new statute didn't take effect until September, November 15th, but in the interest of full transparency, the board, as you'll recall, deferred consideration of it because the material had not been properly posted under the spirit of the law. But I want to commend them for the detail of their report and the success of their program. Are there any questions?
I have none. Tourism board members?
I would just note that it was a really great event, and people who attended were really excited. It was something very unique and interesting for Hudson.
Great. Chris, I'll give you and Mia props on the cross synergy to get them into the pocket park so quickly, because that was good thinking.
Good thinking.
Plug somebody in. Excellent. So, Mike, we need your recommendation here.
We recommend it, and if there's a motion and a second, you can call the question, Mr. Chairman.
I would like to ask for board recommendations on payment for the second half for the All Originals concert report, please.
I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Kate. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Beautiful. Excellent. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Thanks, Nabila. Mia, is that a yes from you?
Yes.
Excellent. All right. Well, yep. All opposed? Beautiful. Carries to the council for final approval. That brings me up next to going through the Sanctuary Movement and the Latinx Festival reports. Mike, yes. Do you have those handy so I don't skip over anything in particular there?
Unfortunately, I'm working remotely. I'm back home. And again, the detail in this report is...
Give me 1 second. I want to make sure I open up the first of the three correctly.
Right. It was very impressive,
Mike. You're right.
We've had good reports, but the last two initially we had a little bit of an issue opening up the they created their own file for all the receipts, and it was in a software platform that we haven't used. But if you stop right there for a moment, I guess if you keep going, I'm sorry, Ryan.
No, that's okay.
And you know, this is our standard form report, they did not change anything in the scope of their budget or their project, they used the full amount of funding for the event. Again, you know, this was a $15,000 grant. It was one of the few that were awarded at that level. I have had several conversations with Brian McCormick, and you know, he indicated that it was a great success. Again, this is an voucher that they have to sign and fill out, and then they have to provide an invoice. And then as you keep going, is that the end file?
That's the last page. I think I've got to go now. Do you want to go into the...
Yeah, go to the other, because he had done such a detailed job on his report that we had him attach it and referenced it for the form that we generally use. And as you can see, you know, they broke out all of the expenses. They actually spent, you know, almost $22,000. So, you know, they, as anticipated, they did have money into the project over and above the tourism board's contribution. And is the narrative further down in that one, or is it a separate?
It's a next one too, really quick. So they've got everything.
A very itemized.
Yep. Which is great.
We're in a separate file, similar to a Dropbox file, we're going to convert it over so it's in the Dropbox file with all of the final reports.
Perfect. And then my only question was on, I don't remember what the initial scope is, so I'm hoping the board can confirm with me. Were we doing hourly rates for the Sanctuary Movement employees? Is that what this is? Like, I'm looking at, like, Brandon's $24.90 an hour here.
Yes.
So it's hourly rate for them to put it on, so with it like a commission fee.
Well, you know, yeah, it was part of the overall package. As you recall, these programs were set up to provide a fee for service event, so that it did allow for payment to the promoter, if you will, to. But it also required that they be documented and that those rates be commensurate with the level of the service or work provided.
It's not a commission, Ryan. It's just being paid for the work that was done to put the event on.
Okay, cool.
And it's not a profit margin. It's the cost, direct cost of the effort. Okay. Having a little bit of a problem increasing this in size and still seeing it. So let me see here. But I think, you know, there's a 4-page narrative here. It will be available online. There it is already online. And I think that, again, when you see the extent of what he's described, and I've...
yeah, they did really well with their media outreach. That makes me happy.
Yes.
And I think the majority of us were down at the waterfront for the party that day too. So it was a good event. Mike, your recommendation, sir?
Yes, we recommend this to be paid, which would be the $7,500 amount that's remaining on the second half of the initially approved project.
Perfect. Can I get a motion from the board to start this process?
Okay.
Thank you, Nia. Can I have a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Kate. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Perfect. Any opposed? Great. It'll carry up to the council for next week. We do have one outstanding, and Adam, thank you again if you're still here for getting me the final report with the receipts. Bear with me, I'll pull that up as well. So, Mike, we did go through their report extensively for Waterfront Wednesdays at the last meeting.
That was a tourism board grant, but it was not processed as the
CDBG, right?
Correct, separately. So, Adam, this is beautifully detailed and extensive. I personally have no questions on this. I look to everyone else on the board. Any questions from any of you on this one?
No.
Great. Can I have a motion to proceed with payment of the second half owed to the Waterfront Wednesdays group?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Thank you, Nia. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Nope. Beautiful. And Adam, please let's stay in touch. As we've discussed, this is something I think we all want to see come back next year.
Now, Mr. Chairman, with respect to the Project Hudson grants that were processed by CEDC, we are still out as a outstanding and pending, not late. They're just still in process or haven't been completed. Was a project by Betsy Miller for tours, and then the Hudson Business Coalition still has two open projects, the Hudson Gallery Crawl and Operation Unite. The treasurer is still carrying Melodious Thunk on the books for the final payment because it was approved by the tourism board previously in October and by the council subject to receipts, and we're waiting for the receipts.
Okay. Perfect. And then I'm going to hopefully meet with you on Friday to go through the remaining that are there. I did have a couple of questions that came in related to this for the tourism board. We had three outstanding numbers. One, I just need to know where to bucket, which was for CELA, for $279.97, which I believe should be under the $1,000 administrative fee line item. Does anybody
That's correct.
That is correct? Okay.
Yeah, it was for flyers that we did for Project Hudson Round 2 that she had printed at Staples.
Okay.
And we distributed around town, so that was just like administrative fees for that.
We had one for Abby Lappin, who I think performed last night as well, but I had a $300 line item for a Abby Lappin and then a $100 item for a Ryder Cooley.
Yeah, those were the performers from the Pocket Park markets.
Okay. All right, so outside of that, let's park that until we come back to Pocket Park it, because I know I've got one question outstanding from the treasurer as well related to that. So that's perfect. And then related to the last thing, the inventory and requisition process, Tom, I'll have something for the council next week to take a look at. And then Kate, I know we wanted to, because I believe Sage reached out, we should look at getting the stage repaired. Adam, I'm so sorry if it was not in a great condition. I hope you're okay. Like everything worked out well.
Adam, can you just speak since we have you here, would you mind just, I just got a note from Sage saying, hey, this stage could use a little love. We should probably talk about, you know, just getting an estimate to have it shored up. Can you just give us from your experience of this stage what you think?
Yeah, happy to. And it worked out great for us. Thank you again for manifesting it. and I'm happy to say it is now inside of the Dunn warehouse. I wasn't sure we'd be able to get it inside, but we did. It's covered. I think, you know, it probably doesn't make sense to do anything until the springtime.
Better weather.
Yeah. You know, it could use some fresh paint. Also, Sage's team pointed out some mold on the back of the mirror, which actually you can see evidence of. Like, I'm not an expert on mold, like good mold, bad mold, but they no did mold. Concern, and I defer to their judgment. I would add that piece, the mirror piece that goes on top, is very, very heavy and requires like at least two pretty strong people. So if we are reapproaching that piece, I think it would be great if it could be lighter. And then I think it could be more approachable and kind of usable for leaner crews, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
That's great. Thank you for the feedback.
And Linda, thanks for capturing that too. I can, I'll plan to bring that up to the council in terms of just what we want to make sure is prepared for that. Mike, that is all I had under related Project Hudson updates. Is there anything else you have this evening, sir? I can cut you loose early.
No, just again, congratulations on all of the activities that you promoted during the past year. I think that, from the shared streets to the activities when you started it previously a year ago, plus we weren't sure how it was going to work out, but I do think it has helped to contribute to community spirit, community collaboration, and also benefited the tourists and visitors to Hudson who benefited from participating or attending some of the events. So think you should be very pleased with the overall efforts and recognize that the trying to do all of this with remote meetings and volunteers is a tremendous amount of work, and you've been very successful. So we're pleased and proud to be part of it, and CETC looks forward to continuing to work with you in the future.
Great. And
we appreciate everything you've done, Mike.
Thank you.
Just before you
go, to work with and we
Go
you've
ahead.
Been a real pleasure to work with, and you've made it much easier for us.
Thank you. And a couple of times I didn't get the full 85% on the test, but you were accommodating to help me catch up. So thank you.
Mike, just before you go, I think we just have a couple of questions first. Margaret, I'll let you go first. You had your hand up, please.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Ryan. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yep, thank you. So first of all, really loved Winter Walk. It was great to get back out again. There have been some really great things going on in Hudson that I have personally really enjoyed. I'm not a tourist, and I'm not contributing any revenue to anything. But I am just wondering, but you know, a lot of what you've presented this evening, I have no questions about any of the funding or the payments to folks, to the work that they've done and so forth. But my sense is that one of the missions of the Tourism Board is to engage in activities that will increase tourism and increase revenue in Hudson from tourism. And I'm not seeing or hearing anything about quantitatively what any of these activities are doing to contribute to the public purse. And yep. It's not a question I'm expecting you to answer tonight, but something I think we need to be thinking about is, can we quantify how what we are doing is bringing money into the public purse? Sorry, let me finish.
Okay.
So, for example, the cultural activities, specifically the one that was mentioned this evening was the Latinx thing. There are quite a few cultural activities down the riverfront. These are not necessarily activities that I would expect or want to necessarily generate any tourism dollars. I think that they are really important to the community. And those, I kind of see them in a different space. But I do think that if we could take a little step back and think about how do we quantify some of the things that we are doing, and monies that we expend, and what does this bring in to Hudson in terms of, because this is the Tourism Board.
Yep, Margaret, I'd like to go. Margaret, I'm trying to keep it to the 2 minute rule.
I'm going
to
stop. I'm going to stop.
Thank you.
I'm stopping.
That's okay. What I want to share, though, you might have missed the previous meetings. That is all planned for what we are going to do starting next year. This year, it's too late in the time that I've come in to be able to start a requisition process, particularly with the hotels or even looking at Airbnbs. That said, we do know that we've had quite a substantial uptick in the lodging tax and the sales tax during the dearth of this program, particularly from the end of Q1 when people started to get more emergent from COVID. There are no hard direct metrics yet, but that is all for discussion as we look into 2022 and beyond. We've talked about including a check-in survey with the hotel so we could actually clock if people are here for certain events. All ideas and comments are on the table for that. And when we start working together more formally in about a month, I'd love to bring your ideas into the fold for that.
Okay. Thank you for that, Ryan. And I do want to specifically say that I think that the cultural events on the riverfront are very, very important and are not necessarily tourism related. And they need to be supported and they need to be encouraged and they need to be funded. But they are not, I'm not sure that they fall under the umbrella of tourism per se. They are just very significant to our community. And so I just want to make sure that the Tourism Board, as they're looking at things that relate to actual tourism, which is an industry, that we're looking at that from a quantitative perspective and looking at, what are we funding? What are we bringing in? What's the return on the investment?
No, agreed. Chris, before you go, I know John has his hand up here. John?
But I'd actually really rather respond directly to Margaret rather than wait till the end of public comment.
He's deferring the floor to you.
Yes, so thank you very much. Margaret, I would challenge that I think that you are a tourist, and that if you look at our mission statement, that we have redefined tourism so that it's not just people from New York City, but it's also people from Copake, it's people from Coxsackie, it's people from Albany, people from Kingston, and also people from Hudson itself, because it's the locals who are especially going to be important in helping keep businesses open in January and February when it's much harder to get people to travel here. So I would just say that I understand where you're coming from, but that this board very deliberately did not look at tourism as an industry, but much more than an industry, as a process and a way of getting people to interact in a city under crisis during a pandemic.
So I'm sorry, Chris. A tourist is somebody who tours. I do not tour. I live in Hudson. And I grew up in Dublin City in the 60s and 70s, when 50% of Ireland's revenue came from tourism. And tourists were people who were not living in Dublin City. And so I'm sorry, I am not a tourist. I am a resident. I am a resident who participates actively every day in businesses within Hudson. I go to restaurants in Hudson. I shop in Hudson. I live here. I'm not a tourist. Mm-hmm. I am actually a resident. There's a big difference between a tourist. A tourist is someone who tours. I am not touring. I live here.
Okay. I'm gonna ask.
I'm going to respond, because it's important to respond just so we have mutual
understanding. Chris, you have a minute. You have one minute on the floor, please, and then we're going to move on to the next item on the list here today.
Yeah. I understand a more traditional view of tourism. I would argue that businesses do not care whether the money comes from a person from New York City or from Hudson. And I would say that Hudson has had a problem in the past where people in Lower Warren are not going to Upper, people in Upper Warren are not going to Lower, and people on Warren are not getting out. So I have talked to a number of businesses off of Warren who have been very encouraging of the way we've defined tourism. So let's just agree to disagree.
All right, John, you're up, please.
Thanks, and Mike Tucker, maybe you can answer these questions for me. I was taking a look at some of the Waterfront Wednesdays costs, and I did have a couple of questions. Mike, are you there?
Yes, I am, sorry.
Thanks, Mike. The staff was paid $13.50 an hour. Who is that paid through?
I would have to go back and look. I mean, it was reported through Brian McCormick, so I'd have to see how he paid that.
Sorry, for Waterfront Wednesdays, I was reported through Brian McCormick?
I'm sorry, for Wednesdays? We're not involved with Wednesdays?
It's not a CBDC thing, John. It was
counseling. Sorry. And then in that case, I will, Sam or Adam's right there.
If you're looking at the youth workforce numbers, that was paid through Operation Unite, I believe.
It was paid through Operation Unite. And those are itemized. Those were itemized and turned in for reimbursement.
All of the invoices have been submitted in that report.
Not the invoices, but the checks, the proof of payment.
I'd have to get back to you on that.
Okay. The Hudson Sloop Club charged shore support $200 per event, and that was for a table. What cost does that reflect?
I don't know if Sam's still on this call. There were two people needed on that table to sign people in, assign them to boats, get them to sign the waivers, kit them out with life vests. So I think it was mostly labor support.
Okay. At what rate was that being paid?
Do you want me to jump in, Adam?
Yes, please. I don't know the answer to that.
Right. Sure. I can get you that number. I don't have that in front of me, but Adam's exactly right. To facilitate getting people out on all of the different boating excursions, we had a dedicated table specifically to do that kind of safety sign up and run the schedule of the event. So that was probably a combination of labor for people and materials for like printing sign up.
But there are itemized costs associated with that line on the reporting, correct?
I believe there are. I mean, I don't
have. I mean, you got like copies of checks to turn in for reimbursement, right?
Right. Yes. John, we can get the number for the next meeting.
Next question. You had $2,000 worth of life vests. They went to Hudson.
Take this offline. I feel that this is distracting and we're going down a rat hole. And
I'm sorry, this isn't distracting, and this is about the reporting and the money that's spent. I've just got a few questions. Please, Chris, stop interrupting.
No, I will interrupt. I will interrupt because this is inappropriate. You're going down a very specific rat hole.
Chris, thank you.
It's not fair.
$2,000 worth of life. Chris, I'm going to ask the chair.
You've got 2 minutes, Don.
Thank you. $2,000 worth of life vests. Where are those stored?
I believe that number is incorrect. Again, I wish I had this in front of me. It says
$2,000 on the expense report.
Well, then give me a second to try to pull this up because that is
okay.
The third degree. Jeez.
While you're doing that, there is a river ecology program that was $3,000 for fishing.
Yeah, were you there, John? Do you understand what the fishing program was?
Yes, I do. It was $3,000 for fishing with kids.
Yes, correct.
That's a lot of money for fishing for a couple hours with kids.
John, we're at the 1 minute mark.
No, the fishing program required, it's actually more complicated than you might think because it requires someone on shore to get the kids coming down. It requires someone on the dock with the kids the whole time they're fishing. It requires the equipment. I mean, it's more than you might think to do.
Right.
Last question.
There were $500 worth of artist fees paid. Were dancers paid? Were the performers paid? Or checks being cut? And do we have copies of those?
The answer is yes. Every group that performed received $500. A lot of that money did not come from the tourism board because we also received funding from the Create Council on the Arts, and also from other sources such as the subsidized. I mean, we submitted every invoice that we paid. The kind of accounting that you're asking for is not something that we have been asked to provide.
You're asking for taxpayer money. I think that that's a pretty simple ask.
John, I'm going to table this. We are out of time on this topic right now. So it is approved. It will go to the council either way for next week.
Ryan, if I can just add one thing quickly, and I don't want to waste anyone's time, but I just want to say I did just look up the life vests, and the $2,000 was an in-kind contribution from the Sloop Club. There was $500 worth of replacement life vests this season. So there is actually a lot more information. I think, John, if you ever want to talk, feel free to reach out, but I think there's some confusion here.
I'll do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Sam. All right, shifting gears, we have a presentation tonight related to some of our Project Hudson updates. Jeremy, you're here, correct?
Good night.
Good night, Mike. Thank you.
Hi, Michael. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Jeremy. So I want to give you the floor to talk a little bit about the money spent to date, the program to date, and then we can get into a couple of the opportunities that we've surfaced together over the past month.
Sure. So we've done 6 months of crawls, and we have, you know, when we launched, we did a big advertisement and chronogram. All of our efforts and the majority of the money goes into marketing, which is a lot of event boards and online social media posts, I can't remember what that's called. Now we are getting ready for, planning our efforts for the winter months and then the spring, which is when we will really put another, it'll be like a second launch when we get to April. But in the meantime, still coming up with, you know, things that will draw attention to this, mm-hmm. bring us more journalists writing about it. Our contacts have grown. And so it's, you know, for something that is 6 months old, we're really happy with the way it's growing organically and with the partners that we are developing. Like you coming to us with some of these great ideas about skiing weekends and things.
perfect. Is there anything in this report in particular you want me to focus on for everyone?
No, this is a very straightforward, just what we've paid so far and invoices. I'm happy to answer any questions, but I think it's all pretty clear.
Perfect. Perfect. That brings us over to, let me just pull my side agenda back up here. Quick update. Jeremy and I both had a meeting with the marketing team at Art Omai, and they are very willing to start working with us to promote destination weekends in general to the Hudson area, knowing that we can draw on some of the larger institutions that are around us that do make a little bit more of an impactful day trip when people are coming from further distances, especially in the extreme cold, where we know, I mean, people get very reticent to even want to go out to dinner some nights. It just gets so awful out. Art Omai in particular is willing to work with us to promote trips up for the weekend, whether that's snowshoeing or otherwise, that also correspond to dates for Second Saturday, as is the Thomas Cole House. And Jeremy, I didn't get a chance to share this with you and Ellen today, but we heard back from Olana through the Thomas Cole House as well, that they're interested in promoting a full day of local art to then end with the 5 to 8 o'clock crawl, accordingly down Warren Street. We also have Susan Elney, who is one of the third organizers for this program, was working with Wyndham Mountain as well, which we all know, I mean, the ski resorts draw a majority of the people up for the weekend. Well, the goal is going to be on Wednesday, we're talking to Wyndham to see exactly what it is that they're willing to work with us for, whether that's a reduced lift ticket, how we can get transportation to and from Hudson for the day. And then we want to sit down with the hotels themselves to see if there's an opportunity to be able to co-opt a package over the course of the winter that corresponds with Second Saturdays, so that we can get people staying in Hudson, eating in Hudson, shopping at the art galleries in Hudson, but they are out for the day, enjoying everything that's available outside. Tambor, I see your applause there. Exactly. I mean, that's the type of thing where how do we make sure that we're intersecting with you as well to attend some of the shows that I know you've got going on this winter. Go ahead. I'll give you the floor, please.
Thank you, Ryan. I just want to say that, sorry, and I'll turn my video on. You know, we have the Hudson Jazz Festival, which is in February, which has expanded from one weekend to two over Valentine's Day, the first weekend, February 10 to 13, and President's Day weekend over, I think, February 16th to the 20th. But we've programmed the Jazz Festival intentionally in February to help boost Hudson after a slow winter period. And we would be thrilled to work with any collaborative effort.
We love that. That's, I believe, you know, Ellen and Jeremy already, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Beautiful. I will leave it to the two of you to connect on the side there, but that's what we want to do, is how do we holistically try to uplift all this? Also, Claire, because I know that you're tied into some more of the kids facing organizations that are in town too. Part of the conversation that we want to have is to make sure that for local kids that might not have access to be able to go to these places as often, we are going to ask them, the mountain at least, what they might be able to do, because I think there's a good program here that we can work both, not just for tourism, but to do that that local community uplift spirit, much to what Chris was saying earlier. So conversation will be Wednesday. I will have a report back and ready for everybody come the January meeting. And that brings me to Jeremy and Ellen. I know we wanted to talk about the potential for accelerating some of the funds, since you've really spent to date what you've had for the first 6 months. That's something that I think we can take up within the council next week to discuss, if you're open to that. I know that it is an expensive lift. You provided a very detailed report with the receipts as well. So if you're open to that, we can discuss that as well.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. All right. Gary, sir, are you still here?
I am.
All right,
are we still on, are we voting on Hudson Gallery Crawl tonight or not?
No voting on it tonight. No.
Okay, because you said you were going to bring it up to the council, so I was just concerned.
No, I need to figure out. It's nothing that we've got to vote on for second half of payment because that's how it's not typically been run to date. And with this being our last meeting right now, I need to get some clarity on like how we're going to operate that moving forward. I have to talk with Heather as well because I'm trying to understand what line items we're closing out of the budget for FY21.
Sure.
Before they go into 22. So I don't want to overstep and do anything that I have to walk back in the next meeting.
I guess I would just say on the Hudson Gallery crawl, I think it was great, great momentum, very, very encouraged. I still go back to the concept of a late night in Hudson. And I feel that closing an hour earlier in the winter months is exactly the wrong direction, that we need to be doing everything we can to encourage tourism in the off seasons. It's very easy to stay open late in the summer. It's a lot harder to do it in the winter. And I think I would just like to challenge the group to try that.
I hear you. And I think honestly, if we are able to get some of these bigger programs, right, Chris, that bring more people into town, that can be a possibility. But I mean, we've all been out on Warren Street on a Saturday night where there's some nights at 9 o'clock where you can't believe how dead it is, you know? So,
but that was the promise that we voted.
I understand the promise
that we voted on this in the first place. So my challenge would be, is there a way to, at least in aspiration, say, let's try to do this?
Oh, well, I say, give me to Wednesday so I can talk about maybe if I can bring an extra 200 to 400 people here, then there's a reason to stay open. I mean, it makes no sense for anybody to stay open if they're not going to be making money out of any of this.
I understand, but we started closing early in September, and I feel like we should be doing everything we can to fill the coffers in January, February, March, which is are the hardest months.
I think we're all in agreement on that, which is great. So, all right, Gary, now I can go to you. I apologize. Do you have a copy of the deck that you want to walk through, or do you prefer that I share screen and go through it?
I have it, but why don't you do it? This way you control it.
All right, bear with me one second. All right. Let me know if I need to make this bigger for anybody, please. She probably can make it a little bit bigger. So again, before we start, this was an insane lift for the team here. In particularly, there are some folks who are on this board who I know that this is what they ate, breathed, lived, and slept for quite some time in getting it up. And I just want to make sure that everybody knows, no matter what your personal opinions of this program were, I think I'm of a full agreement that it was highly successful. There's always key learnings to be had, but without it, I don't think we would have seen the amount of people gathering outside, especially for some of the restaurants that we did this year. So on that note, Gary, I'm going to pass it over to you to walk through here. Just tell me when you want the next slide.
Sure. Thank you. And just to pick up on that, you know, I came in just before the program was launching, and I have to say that it was a solid program. It was good planning. Yeah, we certainly have some lessons, but I would agree with Ryan that for the participants who took advantage of it, it was valuable and successful for them. So you all know the beginnings of the program. I think early on, and before people had a real sense of what was going to be involved here, and I'm speaking specifically about the concrete blocks, there was a lot of early enthusiasm. We had a waiting list of people because there was a limitation of the resources, primarily both the blocks and the planters. But when all was said and done, everyone who wanted to participate had the opportunity to do so. We had to juggle a little bit. Some participants shared their planters that they had, which was their own. And so I had planters from 225 up and down the street, as well as Food Studio, who ultimately could not participate because they just did not have enough hired staff to manage it. And I heard that in a couple of other cases as well. So I'm jumping around a little bit.
That's okay.
And so it was, the program was open to both restaurants and to the retail establishments. I'll touch base on this a little bit more, but clearly the restaurants took advantage of it. I would say a handful of retail establishments took advantage of it, but those that did benefited by it, and bravo to them. The survey that we're going through was sent out on November 8th and closed out on November 26th. We didn't have a whole lot of responses to this survey. I had done an informal one as the program was closing down, and so I can talk a little anecdotally about that. The real disappointing takeaway for me out of this program was the number of participants who haven't gotten around. I'll give them the luxury of that they haven't gotten around to making payment yet. That was a constant problem throughout the program, getting the paperwork, getting proof of insurance in. I have some recommendations around that. But even participants who were applauding what the city was doing early on have gone crickets when we're saying, okay, it's time to, you know, get your money in. So next slide, please. And please, anyone can interrupt me as we're going through.
Well, sorry, Gary, I do just want to say that the way that the fee was set up was specifically set up in a way that allowed participants who could contribute to contribute, but that the Tourism Board intentionally set aside any funds to support businesses who couldn't. So I just, you know, the way we're framing the conversation around those who paid versus those who didn't doesn't feel like in the spirit in which the Tourism Board actually developed the program, which was to support businesses, those that who could pay did pay, those who couldn't, you know, we were happy to help support them in during that time. I think in my mind, that is a more correct framework, at least from the Tourism Board's perspective, as to how we set this program up.
So this is Margaret. The Tourism Board was going to help businesses that could not pay, why does Gary not have information that shows that the Tourism Board paid the fees for the businesses that could not pay?
Because that's a logistical issue that needs to be sorted out between the lawyers and the clerk's office, and it is still set aside in the Tourism Board's budget and will be paid to the city back to the general fund in order to compensate for any funds for which businesses did not pay.
That's correct.
Thank you.
And thank you, Kate. That's an important point. And yeah, you know, I focused on, you know, the disappointment, but the communications were very clear. And in fact, early on, you know, there was one participant who, you know, flatly said, I can't afford this. And you took the lead on that and said, hey, that's no problem. So, yeah, enough said on that. So overall, 64% of the respondents strongly believe that the program had a positive impact on their business. 71% would participate if the program was offered again. 73% agreed that the $200 donation, they would go ahead with it if it was a mandatory fee. But to your point, Kate, I think that's an important distinction. And in terms of their customers, for the most part, they did not hear of any complaints. And more importantly, many found it to be delightful. I sat in a number of outdoor seating areas with participants, and it was indeed delightful. So, Ryan, next slide. Thank you. So here are some of my thoughts. And this is just, you know, early communications. It wasn't a problem. Things were developing this year as we were going along, and we didn't have all of the information in front of us as we started this. So I think we need to build on what we did learn. I would highly recommend that, actually, I've been thinking about this, that there be two dates for cutoffs. the second date being a little bit more costly. But I would recommend that all paperwork be submitted, including all checks and the certificate of insurance. I know that many of the participants were paying on a monthly basis, and towards the end of the program, we started getting cancellation notices. So I would again recommend that the insurance for the space be paid in full and obviously showed. And again, just clear communications regarding planters maintenance. After we, you know, we had that early heat wave in May, and also it was early, and a lot of the participants weren't set up yet for the summer months. And so we did have problems, but after that, I think we could, you know, we all saw how well those plants did in the planters. The other thing is we ran into some issues, a couple of them, and it wasn't a major, but, you know, everyone was very neighborly early on in giving the space in front of their store to their neighbor restaurant or retail. And then they soured on the idea and they wanted the space removed, which was not going to happen. This was for the season. And, you know, basically folks who were regretting their decision and giving their space up essentially had to live with it. So it wasn't a big problem, but I think we need to just, again, reinforce that issue. While I personally felt safer behind the concrete blocks, they were knocked around. I don't know what the physics are there, but I mean, I certainly, you know, a couple of human beings could not push it, but a car from park to 2 or 3 miles an hour could, you know, coming out of a parking space. So I'd like to suggest that, you know, this is some thought be put into, you know, is there some sort of traction strips that we can put on the bottom of the blocks or something? I think they were effective. The big problem was there was a learning curve. And even though the responses on the survey indicates that the reflective cones would appear not to have solved the problem, because it continued even after we had cones up there, and I had to continuously replace them through the season, they seemed to disappear. I'm not sure with the blocks we have how else to put them in the line of sight of a driver. The cones, again, you know, gives it that lift. Some people put, you know, other things on top of it, but we do need that reflective sense. Brian, next slide, please. So here's all of the participants. And again, I'd like to, you know, present this in the light of what Kate had to say. Majority did pay. I would suspect that we'll still see more. It's just a matter of, you know, you're a restaurateur. You need to pay your bills. And many of them did take it as this is a donation. So next slide. And this just continues on. These are the various types of restaurants. We had a couple of participants this year who basically just wanted loading docks, loading zones, no parking. And because we were looking at this as, you know, all one solution, blocks in place, we put the blocks in front of the maker or from Stair Gallery, and that didn't work because it wasn't helping in the look and unload. And I don't think that the seasonal program should be used to address those issues. I think that there's a separate process for that, and that, you know, we should not allow participants for loading. Next slide. So as you can see, there's, you know, a lot of interest in continuing this, and COVID or no COVID, I believe is the idea, in terms of the particularly the restaurants wanting to participate in this next year. Ryan?
Yeah, perfect. I'm just going to go through these relatively quickly, though.
Yeah, it's all pretty much, sort of backing up what I'm saying here. So in terms of general, participants for the most part found this very good. Certainly 64% would agree that they would participate. Another 10 are, in there as well. So we're up to, 74% people would like to participate. Here we see that, yes, this is a good program. We'd like to see improvements, but clearly I'd want to continue it. So as you see, there is nobody here saying, and there's only 11 responses, no one would not want to participate in this again. Registration process, for the most part, there's a lot of people felt that 36%, it went, 9% felt it was poorly. And everyone else, neutral, no opinion, moderately well, very well. So, we made it very easy for them. It was pretty straightforward. Here's a sense of, where the concrete blocks, they improved the safety. And 36% feel that it did. 9% felt yes. And so there's, and then we get into particulars. They were not tall enough. That's correct. They weren't tall enough for drivers to see them in line of sight. if we'd want them any further, they would have really come across as brutal, might be the word.
You covered this one already in the takeaways. Yeah. About the cones.
Yeah, right ahead. Yeah, you can move to these. So the cones, planters made, obviously 73%, 83% felt that it was a very good pitch.
You got high marks.
The one that I got a tickle out of is, I'm not sure who the manager was. If we had asked them, what did you think of Gary, we might have gotten a different answer. But that doesn't matter. Okay.
Just remember, it's good if you hear nothing good or nothing bad, because that just means it's working sometimes too.
That's right. That's right. So as has been consistently, this was a good program. Adequately priced, so we got a majority. And I'm not sure how often did you hear complaints from your customers? Yeah, see, we hardly heard anything. Occasionally, there were issues with people walking in the streets and being disrupted, that sort of thing.
And just to point out too, Gary, like all the considerations around this, where it impacts parking, will be addressed by the parking RFP that's coming in front of the council shortly. So all of those are things that we want to make sure that people look at. And then you've covered this already with the mandatory, if they would be willing to participate if it is there. And you've got the overwhelming majority, over 50% of people said yes.
So. And the anecdotal survey I did, which, had a number of more responses, is consistent with this survey as well.
Yep. And then we won't lament these, but they're all available for download. Commentary from the survey as it was taken in.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to like to open up for questions for Gary, please. First, starting with the Tourism Board Council members.
I don't have a question, but I would just like to call out Gary, Kate, and also, she's not on the board anymore, but Tamar, who really went above and beyond to make this happen. And I know that there were hiccups from time to time, but overall, I thought it went very well, and I would like to commend them.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
I'm going to go. John, I'll get to you in a second. I'm sorry, Margaret had her hand up first. Margaret, please.
Yeah, so Gary, I just wanted to say, this year and last year, I think this is a really great program, and I think having the shared streets is a great idea. I have only one complaint, which is when you touched on it in your slides, when I was trying to parallel park with the blocks behind me, not the one in front of me, but the one behind me, because it was too low and I couldn't see it in my rear view. I think that if we could do something, and the businesses that put planters and so forth on top of the blocks, that was fine because I could actually see where I was parking. But the single only issue that I had with the entire program was when I was trying to parallel park in front of a block where nothing was visible other than the block, because I couldn't see it in my rear view. Otherwise, I think this is a great approach. I think having shared streets is a great approach. I think you did a great job. You're not responsible for the height of the blocks. That is what it is. But thank you very much for what you did.
Thank you. Yeah, to your point, that was a vulnerable spot. And what we were recommending, and it wasn't always successful, is that if you had blocks, you should have one in the front and in the back. You know, so that if someone is, you know, as you just described, backing in or parallel parking out, that you're able to see something behind you.
Yeah, no, but great job. Thank you so much.
Beautiful. John, please.
Thanks, Gary. I'd like to echo Margaret's comments that, you know, I think you did a very admirable job trying to turn that tanker around, and it could have been a real disaster. A couple of questions about the survey. How were business owners approached to do that survey?
Email, John.
That was just email?
Yep.
Okay. Who wrote the questions?
Combination of Corey and myself, along with input from Peter Spear of Future Hudson, because they had conducted a similar survey at the close of the, I believe it was just called Shared Streets last year. Okay. So we tried to make sure that we've got continuity between the 2 years of questions that were there.
And you only got 11 responses. I just did a back of the envelope. I just did a little back of the envelope tally there while you were talking. I counted 34 businesses that participated in Shared Streets. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah. And only 11 people took the time to actually fill out the survey at the end.
Okay. All right. Well, that does a few things a little bit. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. No, totally. We presented what we had, better than having nothing for it. You know, and again, I mean, Margaret, as we were talking about with like requisition processes and everything for next year, it's absolutely, as Gary's recommendations pointed out, let's tighten the screws on like what the application timelines are, what we expect back in terms of feedback and whatnot. It's all an iterative process that we can learn from. So Gary, unfortunately, Kate had to jump this evening, so I'm going to have to table the vote on the expense report until the next meeting, if that's okay.
We have a quorum because Hannah's here.
Oh, is Hannah on still?
Yeah, sorry, I never got the email for the Zoom, so I kind of missed it.
Sorry, no worries. I had you hidden in my side panel there. Good to see you again. Yeah. Perfect, we can do so. I'm looking for a motion in a second from the board to move forward with paying Gary the second half of the fee due for managing this program.
Motion.
Motion.
1 second.
Second, please. Great. For the tourism board members that are here, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Beautiful. Carries. That'll go in front of the council for next week. The last elements that I had here just were on the park, pocket park stuff, Chris. I know we had no vendors that were able to make it for the last one. I guess the only other question that I had from the treasurer's office was related to, outside of Abby and Ryder, were there any other pocket park related expenses that need to be line itemed under pocket parks?
There was one other performer. So it was Ryder. I forget the other guy's name, but it was somebody who followed Ryder, and then Abby performed 3 times.
Okay.
Other than that, it's just the porta potty. And there were no other expenses.
Okay, cool. Other than
the printing and all of that, we just ate that.
Okay. Porta potty gets picked up next Monday, by the way, as well. So,
anything? Me and I are working on a presentation with some recommendations. My apologies, I'm the bottleneck. I have been busy.
That's
with
okay.
But we'd like to present at the next meeting with some ideas on what we can do. Just off the top of our heads, you know, we noticed that weather had a big effect because it was it is outside.
Yep.
So we're starting to dig in and talk to some of the vendors and see like what they need from a, you know, from a perspective to get out there, and B, you know, what would make sense in the off season.
Oh, I can tell you, I was there one day when Nia was tearing down with one of the vendors, and this lady's tent almost went over completely from the wind tunnel that happened right there. She had it weighted down with clothes, mm-hmm. and it almost went into Warren Street. So yeah, I get it. All right.
And then the other thing I would say is that we did kind of experiment with the One Pocket Park as a music venue, mm-hmm. While the market, and what we found was that separating the two was tough because people were not going to one and then the other. But I would say that we should rethink how we use that One Pocket Park next across from Hudson Hall as a potential venue or a performance space, because there have been some pretty good performances, including the performance that Cynthia did with her group, the Originals, and also the Melodious Thunk.
Yeah. Tamara, please.
Hi, can I, Chris, I take your point, and it's a great pocket park, but one of the events did cross over to an event that, a ticketed event we had in Hudson Hall, and the sound spill was pretty bad, so... Okay. If we could just coordinate to make sure we don't have hugely amplified music across from Hudson Hall at the same time we're trying to do a concert, that would be terrific.
Was that the Melodious Thunk?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. That was a very last minute thing, and I will take responsibility there, and I will make sure we don't let that happen again.
Yeah, no, I mean, I support use of the park. It's just...
No.
It's crossing over an event that is creating sound spill into another venue.
Depending on the weather, it might be interesting if we can use it pre-Jazz Fest shows that would be happening inside Hudson Hall, if we could do something.
It wasn't Jazz Fest. It was just
a regular scheduled event.
And we were happy to coordinate and cooperate, but we shouldn't be riding over each other.
No, you're 100% right on that, and I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Perfect. Any other comments from tourism board members this evening? Anybody from the public? Silence on a Monday. I know it's late. Thank you for staying. We try to keep it to an hour. Thank you for staying the extra 15 minutes. Board members, can I have a motion to adjourn? Oh, Claire, go ahead.
Just wanted to, with your comment that you tied me into earlier, just wanted to put it on your radar. Emmanuel Folds has taken over the coordination for the host committee, okay, which is an out-of-school time network of organizations. And I think that that's the right place to go to if you're looking to get some kids involved and some activities.
Thank you very much. Can you can you connect us on email, if you would?
Yeah. Yep. No problem.
Thanks, Claire. All right. Tourism board members, can I have a motion and a second, please, to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Nia, Nabila, yes?